Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knuzovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here talking Titans, welcoming your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Joe, looking ahead at the Steelers, one thing that's interesting that we saw last year and that I would expect to be the case again, the passing game, Ben Roethlisberger not going to spend a lot of time looking downfield, probably going to be wanting to get the ball out quick. I think he ranks 25th in the league right now in terms of yards per pass thrown at 6.7 is the number. So they're on down the list in terms of yards per pass thrown. My man Davis Mills, 28th, 6.4, by the way. So, you know, one little stretch ahead, he's right ahead of Ben Roethlisberger there. Looking forward to that.
Yes.
All right, just throwing that one out there. But I would expect a quick passing attack from the Steelers coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, Ben doesn't let it rip a lot. I don't know if that's just, you know, limitation or more – if he gets hit, he may turn to dust, and he doesn't want to do that. So, you know, I don't. But they do get out quickly. It's interesting. You know, again, I go back to the last time they played, 29-0 Minnesota, and on the way to making that 29-0, I'm watching that game, saying like, this is just a bad football team, just a bad, bad football team. Can't run it, can't stop the run, and their quarterback is actually. Looks like we expect quarterbacks his age to look. You know, Tom Brady's kind of skewed that for everybody. But I will say, in the comeback, which was very on brand for the Vikings, he got rolling. And, man, he started to look a little bit like vintage Ben. And I know some of that, like, you know, especially in the early stages, you know, it's like a little bit of a soft zone. You're just taking, you're dinking whatever they give you and all that stuff, right? But he made some throws eventually that were, including the last play of the game, that I don't know you can throw it any better than he did. But Harrison Smith made a tremendous play to knock it out of Freiermuth's hands in the end zone. But it did look like, okay, now you can see it. And he has good receivers. I mean, they have good receivers. Johnson, Washington, and Claypool, those guys. And Freiermuth is one of those guys that we talked about for the Titans.
Yep.
Going to the draft. And, of course, the Steelers drafted a Penn State tight end. He's a very talented player, and he's going to be a tough cover for the Titans. So that's the Steelers ticket to me, and that's what the Titans have to be good against. And you have to try to get some pressure on him. But like you said, the ball comes out really fast. When you saw it last year at Nissan Stadium, it was, of course, it was a lot of throwing to 33. That's right. Wait, that was Jonathan Joseph's number, right?
Yeah, man.
So we've gone Jonathan Joseph to Brady Breece to Zach Cunningham.
It's not a good trend.
And well, I mean, at least it's like getting better in terms of, you know, players in that time period. Yes. But Roethlisberger picked on him, and I think was that the game that Breon Borders got thrown out there because it was like, okay, someone else has to play.
I think so.
But he did very. It was kind of like Phillip Rivers last year. It was all within like 10 to 12 yards of the line of scrimmage, but it was out fast. It was accurate, and it moved the chains.
It's probably been an emotional week for Ben Roethlisberger looking at film and being like, huh, no Jonathan Joseph out there, huh? That's tough. That's not good. What are we going to do? Maybe Ben Roethlisberger's answer is the same as Trevor Lawrence, and just find wherever Christian Fulton is, you throw the ball over there. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, pick on 26. There you go.
Should be a sound strategy.
That's a sound. I wonder if that was Urban, you know, Urban's influence there. Like, you know, guys, I figured out who their weakest corner is.
It's great. I know they have Buster Screen and Greg Maven and all these folks playing corner right now, but Christian Fulton, go after him. Sound coaching strategy.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff, Urban.
A big question in this game, and you brought it up, I'm interested to see how the Titans do this. This, to me, is going to be a question, really, until Derrick Henry comes back. Can you run the ball in this game? This is going to be a game that's going to require you to run the ball. You brought up the numbers for Pittsburgh's defense in the last segment. It is not good against the run. You know, Jacksonville's not great against the run either. And I just, you know, other than a couple of plays here and there, especially on that first drive, I didn't think the Titans ran it overly well against the Jags either. So another opportunity this week to see what you've got in Deontay Foreman and Hilliard and Jeremy McNichols. Can they find enough in the running game to keep the offense on schedule?
Yeah. I mean, again, you're talking about, well, if we're talking about, you know, run O versus run D, the number five rush offense in the league, 137.8, the number 30 rush D in the league, 139.5. But like I said, yards per play, 497. That's the worst in the NFL. Titans, by the way, are second in the league right now in rush D, 99. And that to me, it's a big key both sides. If you can do what you've been doing that way, and did a great job against a back who lit them up early in the year in James Robinson, you know, if they can keep Roethlisberger in those more, a little bit more third and long than third and medium and short, then that's where the way that they play doesn't help them at all. And I think you're going to get a lot of stops, and you're going to have a chance to, you know, have possession, but then can you run it? I think Deontay Foreman is the ticket. If he's fine, if the injury he sustained is no big deal, and he's not on the injury report, so that tells me that whatever happens Sunday is no big deal. I think it's him. I think it's time for Deontay Foreman. I think it would have happened against Jacksonville, but again, even that game got out of hand, so it's no big deal. I think this is going to be a closer game, and so I think we're going to see for the first time an actual featured back not named Derrick Henry for the Tennessee Titans, and his name is Deontay Foreman. Now there's always the possibility of a Jordan Wilkins coming in. That's possible. I feel like Dontrell Hilliard last week, you know, I think you saw, I mean, he's the two, and Foreman is the one. And then McNichols is back in his role. Because remember, McNichols was getting carries, and I know the game, it was the score was separated, but it wasn't a complete blowout. And McNichols was getting some carries that you might have expected Hilliard to get once Foreman was out of that game. I think it's Foreman's game, and I think a 100-yard game for him is absolutely on the table. And if he gets it, then I really like the Titans' chances.
102.5 The Game, Preds Game Day broadcasts are brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and baths on the web at GoHermitage.com. When we come back, it's been quite the week in the world of sports, both in the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, lots of COVID news. What can leagues do to combat this as they move forward here, getting closer and closer to the playoffs, especially in the NFL's case as well? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mike, a lot of positive cases throughout the league. Just wondering, how healthy is your team, and how confident are you that the protocols are being adhered to and are working?
Here?
Yeah.
I mean, we report, you know, I mean, we ask guys to report symptoms. We follow the protocols, you know, exactly the way they're laid out for us. We talked and mentioned to the team this morning just about you know, everything that we have to do to try to protect and keep ourselves healthy, our families healthy, and this football team healthy. It's, you know, we're all conscious of the spike in the numbers. We'll keep a close contact. We'll keep a close eye on the close contacts and do everything that they're supposed to be doing and try to do everything that we can to keep everybody safe.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday discussing what's been a wild week in the world of sports in the NFL. The Cleveland Browns are being decimated this week with COVID-19 positives. Baker Mayfield testing positive yesterday. They've got a whole slew of positive tests in Cleveland. It's been throughout the league. I think, and I haven't looked at the updated numbers, through Monday and Tuesday, they had 75 COVID positives throughout this week in the NFL. That is a gigantic number. And that was the most in a two-day stretch since the COVID-19 pandemic began in the NFL. So lots of positives in the NFL. As we know, lots of positives in the NHL this week as well. The Predators have been affected by COVID-19 as well. Their game's still on tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. We'll get specifically into the game on that coming up here in just a few minutes. But this has been quite the week, Joe, in terms of COVID-19 in professional sports. And, you know, as you look ahead here with the new variant out there and with the playoffs coming up in the NFL, this is absolutely something that could affect play on the field as we come down the stretch here. What do you think of what we've seen in professional sports this week and what this means for leagues as they go forward here, keeping this in mind?
Well, Alan Sills really confirmed yesterday that, you know, that they are at least looking into the possibility of, you know, changing protocols, or I guess basically easing protocols when it comes to vaccinated players who are asymptomatic, who have positives. And I think this makes sense. You know, obviously you go with the medical experts and what they say, and you want to be as safe as possible. But if you have if you have variants where it's incredibly transmissible, but the impact of it is not as serious, especially for vaccinated people, then I think it makes sense to look at that. I don't know that there's anything you can do to head this off and reverse this, though. And so I think trying to be a little bit more of a 2020 approach in some ways would make sense. One question there is, do we get to the point at all where we're talking about crowds again? No one wants to do that, but I think you've got to recognize that as a possibility at this point, depending on which way this goes.
It's interesting to see, you know, what that's going to look like with the NFL and NHL in terms of, you know, positive tests with vaccinated players. Rod Brind'Amour talked about this a couple of days ago with Carolina about, you know, it's frustrating to be on the road, especially in this heavy happen, and you get all these positive tests and nobody's sick is basically what he said. I can tell you, based on conversations I've had surrounding the Nashville Predators, there is some frustration there as well. From what I've been told, basically, I'm not going to say every positive test, but most of the positive tests, totally asymptomatic at this point with the Predators. So there is frustration there of, all right, we've gotten our shots. In a lot of cases, they've already gotten the booster as well. We've done everything that we have been asked to do, and we still can't play when we get a positive test. That is creating an enormous amount of frustration with the players. Look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not smart enough to know exactly what the answer is, but I will say, like, you know, going down the stretch here, especially as this continues to spike in our country, like, this story is not going away over the next couple weeks. We're going to continue to see people and teams and players test positive, and I'm really interested to see what these leagues do about this, because there's this idea out there, and it was all over NHL Twitter the other day. Quite frankly, I just think it's really short-sighted and dumb. I mean, there was this idea of, well, just pause the league for 2 weeks and shut everything down for 2 weeks. Number one, it's incredibly – I mean, it's just almost impossible to pull off logistically based on people I've talked to. But also, I mean, what's your guarantee that we're not dealing with this 2 weeks from now and you're right back in the same situation? So I don't think the NHL is going to shut the league down or put it on pause for 2 weeks or anything like that. But this is becoming a more and more complicated conversation in terms of what exactly to do with players who have tested positive, who have been vaccinated, and are not showing any symptoms whatsoever. Do you let them play? Do you not? Like, what do you do there? That's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it's just, look, I just think, like, the shutdown or something like that, I mean, I don't know if it's really going to achieve what you want it to achieve, you know? So, and it's just, you know, you can see it at this point here. We're moving on 2 years, and you can see, like, the variants keep coming. You know, this is Omicron now, which, again, by what I've read about it, you know, very transmissible, like the Delta variant, but it hasn't been as impactful in terms of symptoms and stuff. And according to Alan Sills, also, so more than 2/3 of the more than 100 players that have tested positive since Monday are asymptomatic. So Now, of course, one thing you can do, and they did an antibody study, okay, of 572 NFL staff members, and the antibodies were very low, which is why they then mandated the booster shot for Tier 1 and Tier 2 employees, but that's not – that's coaches, but that's not players. Now, they're trying to – you know, they're trying to encourage players to do that, to get boosted, which, again, that's a, I think that's a good move. That's a good safety move. It's not necessarily a transmission stopping move, right? So, I mean, it's, I don't know the answer. The answer it should come from the health experts, but I think it's good that they are at least exploring the possibility that, look, if you're vaccinated, you're protected, and you're asymptomatic, you know, you need to be looked at differently here. Cause I mean, you can carry this on down the road. We haven't gotten enough people vaccinated in general to, you know, to stop these variants. I don't know if it would have anyway. You know, there are health experts who believed it would. It didn't happen. It hasn't happened. So you're talking about this happening over and over again in the future too.
Well, and you know, strictly from the sports part of it on the field, like, you know, can you imagine a week like this happening in the playoffs where it directly impacts the way that, that the game is played on the field? And, you know, you get a positive test of a vaccinated player on a Friday, and they're not playing on that Saturday or Sunday. And I don't know, it's just that's something interesting that's going to be an interesting decision that the NFL is going to have to take a look at, because unfortunately for them, you're a few weeks away now from the playoffs, and all this is really starting to get fired up with the new variant, and that's got to be something that's on your mind. I mean, we've heard players talk about it this week, like, you know, what happens if this is the playoffs and I'm vaccinated, I test positive on a Thursday, I'm out of a playoff game at that point, and I may not even be symptomatic. Like, what am I supposed to do there? I mean, that's a really tough spot to be in.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think the possibility of this disrupting the playoffs is very real, and I look, at this point, I would kind of expect, you know, that we'd see some kind of outcome potentially, you know, altered by this, you know, last year. But that's where I think also, that's why I think some of the other stuff, the shutdown stuff, I'm with you. Like, it's just, I don't think that's, the NFL's not talking about that. I know that's two different leagues we're talking about now. But I mean, for the NFL, I think you just have to do everything you can, go back to as being as rigid as possible on a daily basis around the facility, the players, you know, back to no more going out to, you know, all that stuff, just to try to see if this can calm down.
It's a tough spot to be in, and we'll see what happens tonight as well. Obviously, it's affected our local teams here as well. The Titans have had a couple of positive tests this week, and also the Nashville Predators have been hit hard by this week. Some players testing positive and some coaching staff members testing positive as well. We'll get more into that coming up next. Looking ahead at the Predators and the Avalanche tonight, the Predators with a 5-game winning streak on the line tonight as they take on Colorado. We'll get into that matchup coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The end of the NFL regular season is approaching, and this week's Thursday night game gives us a big divisional matchup between the Chiefs and the Chargers. FanDuel Sportsbook about to make it even bigger, because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win, and that means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Now, this game is very intriguing. Lots on the line here. If the Chargers win, that means they sweep Kansas City. But I think the Chiefs are playing pretty well right now. I think Kansas City gets it done. Give me Kansas City on the money line. Give me Patrick Mahomes over on the passing yards. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. Plus, when you win, you get paid in as little as 2 hours. So just sign up with promo code ROB before tonight's matchup, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wagering designated offer market, a max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. We'll be right back. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio today here on this Thursday morning. Looking ahead to the Preds and the Avalanche tonight. And, Joe, some tough news for the Preds this week. They did not practice Tuesday after they already had a scheduled day off on Monday. Didn't practice yesterday either. And it coming out yesterday afternoon that they now have six players on the COVID list. Mikael Granlund joining Ryan Johansson, who was already on the list. Matt Luff, Michael McCarron, Philip Tomasino, and Ben Harper as well. And then six more in the traveling party, including head coach John Hines, assistant coaches Dan Lambert and Todd Richards, and goaltending coach Ben Vanderklok. So the Preds being hit hard at the moment by a COVID wave that's gone through the locker room. As of now, the game's still on for tonight. Colorado has traveled here at this point, and that sets up a big matchup tonight. We talked about it earlier this week. It feels like one of the first big, big games for the Predators this year. Now, that has changed a little bit with all the lineup damage that they have with COVID-19 running through the locker room. I mean, no Ryan Johansson, no Mikael Granlund. And by the way, Matt Duchene's been injured. We'll see whether or not he's available tonight. That's a tough spot to be in if you're the Predators. Two teams coming in on five-game winning streaks. Tough news, tough week for the Predators with the COVID stuff that's going on, and we'll see how they handle that tonight. Not a great team to be going up against tonight when you've got some COVID issues in the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's diminished the game some, right? It's a big game. It's going to matter, but it's not, to me, it's no longer the let's see it. Let's test what you've got against what they've got kind of game just because you're missing so many people. I mean, if they play this game, first of all, do you think they're going to play this game?
I do. I mean, if there's not another positive test, they'll play.
So how does Dan Hino handle that? Like,
I don't know.
Are there going to be other coaches then like joining him?
Yeah, I mean, look, they'll have somebody will be on the bench. I don't know who else in the traveling party is infected and is tested positive. So I don't want to sit here and speculate who's going to be on the bench, but whether it's Scott Nickel or whoever, I mean, there are going to be some options there that can be on the bench with Dan Hynote. So I think it'll be fine for one game from that standpoint, which, by the way, but they're still scheduled to travel to Chicago, take on the Blackhawks on Friday as well. So we'll see what happens on that front. But, like, you look at the game itself, if there's not another positive test, I mean, you still got Yossi and Ekholm. Your defense corps is largely still together. You got Matt Duchene, if he's healthy enough to play, will be in there. Tolvin and Forsberg. So it's not like they're just totally, you know, shorthanded out there, but it certainly puts them in a tough spot. No Granlund, no Johansson against a team that looks like they're starting to play like we all thought they would in the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not a great spot. Now, it came up a couple weeks ago when they were in Detroit when some people were getting sick, you know, that you got the chicken soup game and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sometimes teams respond well to that situation. To me, it's like, you know, you want to practice, but sometimes also rest can be beneficial for you too as a team. You know, so I mean, the Preds have enough key players, you know, that this can be a good, interesting game. Just so I just hope we get it.
I hope we get it too. There's frustration in the league right now. I mentioned the players part of the COVID test, but from a fan standpoint, you're looking around, and I saw this on Twitter some yesterday too. You're like, all right. So let me get this straight. You're about to make the Predators play shorthanded against the Avalanche and potentially the Blackhawks if this thing keeps on schedule. And yet you look back earlier this week, and as soon as Calgary got like four positive tests, you just canceled the whole week. You pulled the plug on the whole week. Now, that ended up being the right call. And the NHL, I think it's probably fair to say, had some more information than we did at that point, because yesterday, like, basically the entire Flames organization is dealing with COVID at the moment. So it ended up being probably a pretty good call by the NHL, but there is, like, what constitutes, all right, we're going to cancel this game, but we're going to let this one go. Like, how do you make those decisions if you're the NHL would be something that I'm very fascinated to find the answer to as to how you can be consistent in that regard. I know some of it has to do also with the Canadian border as well, which adds a whole different element to this.
Exactly. You got to keep that in mind too. And by the way, from Bill Wickett from the Preds, they are bringing in coaches from Milwaukee. So Carl Taylor, head coach, will be among them. So there it is. That makes sense. Yeah, because I mean, just logistically, you know, right? I mean, you got everybody's doing stuff, not just sitting there watching the game. So there you go. So they've got that figured out. And yeah, it's a like you'd rather, I'm sure, like you'd want to play, but if you do see teams that get shut down and then they miss out on potentially losing games that, you know, they might have lost because they're missing key players, I understand the frustration. I've also got a question about the NHL and the NBA, the difference, you know, the NBA not postponing. Has the NBA not zapped any games? Is that right?
I don't think so.
But, you know, that doesn't mean that it won't happen. I mean, it's not like there's a hard line thing like they absolutely will not cancel a game. It just hasn't happened yet. And frankly, I probably wouldn't put my money on it not happening at all.
Well, and, you know, we had this discussion yesterday too, and this is still, you know, a couple months away, but you're getting close to decision time if you're players here in terms of you do have the Winter Olympics coming up, and that's been such a big talking point with players. Like we've talked to Yossi about it. We've talked to so many different guys about how that it's so important to them to go to the Olympics, and that was a big part of the collective bargaining agreement with players is we want to go to the Olympics. We want to go badly to the Olympics. David Poile was on Darren Donick and Chase on Tuesday, and basically what I took from that conversation was, yeah, if the players want to go, we're going to negotiate in good faith, and they're going to go. If they don't, then they're going to be the ones to make that decision. There were some different thoughts on that. Connor McDavid seems to be a little hesitant at the moment, and others. There was one that talked, I think, I can't remember if it was Wyshynski or Strickland or somebody yesterday that said, yeah, I'm going no matter what. I will be playing in the Olympics. So going to be interesting to see what the thought process is there and, like, what happens if, like, half the players want to go and half the players don't. That's going to be interesting to see what this looks like.
Yeah, I took from Poile, from that conversation, Poile, like, the tone was sort of like, I mean, we said you guys can go, so I guess you can go if you want to go. Oh, you know, and Poile and a lot of obviously managers and ownership in this league, very well documented. They don't like the Olympics. I think they're being short-sighted. But obviously this is a different situation. And the fact that McDavid seems to be balking when you think about what, a 3-week quarantine and potentially having to stay there.
Yeah.
You know, after the Olympics. I get why there'd be hesitation. So I imagine that we'll probably have some people individually decide not to do it. You know, but again, it's just like with everything else. Hopefully it moves forward. Hopefully we do get NHL players in the Olympics and things are better by then. It's like with so many things, that's what you just get to. Well, hopefully things get better.
I'm interested to see if this game continues, which right now, again, game scheduled to be played tonight between the Predators and the Avalanche. What does the lineup look like for the Predators? I mean, you don't have Granlund, obviously. We know what a loss that is. Johansson's still on the list. Like, what sort of lineup are they able to piece together tonight in order to try to hang in there? Now, like I said, your defense core is still okay. So, I don't expect many changes, if any at all, on defense. Your goaltender's fine. Like, so there's a lot of things that you still feel good about if you're the Predators heading into this game. But forward, I mean, obviously that Granlund line's been playing really well. Johansson, when he's been in there, has played awesome. Going to be interesting to see what that lineup looks like out there that Dan Hynote trots out there tonight.
Well, yeah, Milwaukee coaches, maybe not just Milwaukee coaches.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of Milwaukee potential here in Nashville. But again, there's still, you know, enough quality players available to make this a game. And obviously you never know what will happen in one NHL game anyway. So
how impressed will you be if the Predators pull this off tonight and take down the Avs with this lineup?
Pretty impressed. And you know, it's very early, you know, where we are, but still, I mean, that's the type of thing that could be very helpful. And the way that the Avs are looking like what we thought they'd look like all year. So even more impressed considering that.
Make sure you tune in all day Friday to 102.5 The Game as we give away free beer and burgers courtesy of Joyland in East Nashville. Listen for your cue to call this Friday to text the keyword to the game line at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and be qualified to win a Joy Beer and Joyland's new Smash Burger Deluxe. It's Free Beer Friday delivered by Joyland in East Nashville. Looking forward to that coming up tomorrow. When we come back, it is time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, as we do every week, would you like to kick us off with your best and worst things in sports for the week?
Yes, I would. So you guys may not be surprised at all by my best. Maybe you will be.
I will.
But it's pretty. You won't be.
I know. I already know what it was.
Oh, it's Steph Curry.
Yep.
The all-time 3-point shooter in the Garden. The place goes nuts. His family's there. Ray Allen's there, and it's, you know, it's this guarded bomb, of course, and you know, it was a fantastic scene. For a guy who has changed the game, and really, I mean, Steph Curry has changed the game. He's, to me, one of the most enjoyable athletes I've ever watched in any sport. I mean, I compare him, like, to me, it's kind of like watching Barry Sanders when he played in the NFL. Like, you can't turn away. And he's going to get his another ring this season, cement himself in this franchise and their place in NBA history. By the way.
Okay. Very nicely done. Congrats to Steph Curry. Really cool stuff. Glad, I mean, got it out of the way quick in that Knicks game, and it was pretty awesome. Shout out to the New York crowd, which I don't say very often. Very good recognition of the moment there. Good stuff at Madison Square Garden.
That was very good. That was, they were very nice.
Your
very
worst thing nice there in sports Manhattan. For the week.
Yeah, we just talked about it, but it's COVID-19. Look, we're all tired about it. They're tired about it. We're all tired of it. It's universal. I don't know the answers. I've never have from day one. That's for people way smarter than me. I do know that, you know, life continues to be ended by it too. You know, we're all sick of this. I just saw a full page ad taken out by. And the Star Tribune by you know, a hospital in Minneapolis begging again people to be vaccinated and to mask up and to do things because they're overwhelmed. And as we go through all this stuff, these people on the front lines continue to deal with this. And whenever we see these outbreaks, again, it takes other people who need medical attention. It makes it more difficult to give that to them. Please think of these people. What they've been through in the last couple of years is, in some cases, unfathomable.
Michelle Knezovic, your best and worst things in sports for this week.
I'm going to start with worst so then we can end on a good note.
That's
How about that?
That's a trend for Michelle. She's ready to get that bad stuff out there quick.
I just like to get it over with because I don't like to give the bad stuff as much time. Obviously, COVID-19, that's what I was going to say, but I figured one of you would say it. My worst in sports for this week is honestly just Urban Meyer and all of the just bad stuff he has done. I mean, coming out, what was this, yesterday, kicking a former kicker. I just feel like there's been so many red flags, and we've talked about them so much between hiring the strength coach, him resigning the next day, and then the whole bar scene and not taking the team flight home. And it's like, red flag, red flag, red flag. It's like, Jags, get out of this toxic relationship. Let's move forward. You have, well, you have the number one pick, Trevor Lawrence. Let's try to get him on the right track. Bye, Urban. See you later. Kick to the curb. And that's all I'm giving him time on the air right now.
There you go.
And my best in sports, obviously, everybody in this region and area knows about the tornadoes that happened last weekend. Obviously, a very tragic situation. But I think what we've seen even around the sports organizations here, a couple Titans players went up to volunteer their time to donate. We're doing stuff with our radio station, Kentucky Basketball, and Kentucky Athletics did a telethon, I think it was last night, and they raised over $3 million for all of those efforts. You see Carl Anthony Towns donated like $10,000. Just a lot of people coming together who have the funds to be able to make big donations like that. I think it's amazing. I think it really helps. Obviously, all the people who are in need right now, you know, it's holiday season. I saw an interview with this little girl and basically saying like Santa's not going to come anymore. So just sad stuff. If you can do anything to help, you know, donate clothes, they really need anything right now. So I just thought that was really awesome seeing everybody come together to help out all those people in need.
Very nice. My best thing in sports for the week, it's the college football National Signing Day as a whole, but I do have a personal slant on it a little bit. Shout out to Torin Baker of Hendersonville High School signing with Tennessee Tech. I've gotten to know Torin. I coached him in baseball when he was a lot younger. Got to know his family very well. He comes from a great family. Love those people. He works really hard. He's such a humble kid and signed to play football with Tennessee Tech yesterday at the early signing period. So he's a really good baseball player too. Could probably play both in college if he wants to. But Torin Baker of Hendersonville High School signing with Tennessee Tech. Shout out to Torin yesterday. That's my best thing in sports. Worst thing, the Green Bay Packers special teams unit. I think I regrew hair and lost it in the same night on Sunday night watching that debacle against the Chicago Bears. I can see it now. The divisional round of the NFL playoffs. My Super Bowl pick of the Green Bay Packers. Everything's going well. They're playing well offensively. And they'll give up like two kick returns for a touchdown and lose in the divisional round. It was truly, and I'm not over-exaggerating, it was the worst special teams performance I've ever seen in my entire life by any team, any level, Sunday night, Chicago. It was awful.
Give me that special teams coach's name again.
Mo Drayton, and he's still employed. So really, really great job of fixing it by LaFleur. It's going well. By the way, they take on the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday, who had the best special teams unit in America. So that'd be good. Looking forward to that one.
And this makes you worried about the outcome of this game?
Way more worried than I probably should be, yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was a spectacularly bad performance. The only way that that game – I mean, I was grateful for it because otherwise it's just – it's not a fun game to watch at all. It made it interesting for like 40 minutes at least.
Yes.
Think of it that way.
Well, I'm glad that they could do you a service that way. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, the worst thing will be Joe and everything he does, and the best is Robbie and Michelle's patience to deal with it. This is from a texter on the text line.
Love that texter.
The worst thing is Joe as a whole.
We do miss Joe, though. We miss Joe in the studio.
The same texter says, we need a Joe and Jared boxing match. It's a win-win for everyone. Joe, what are your thoughts on a Joe Rexrode versus Jared Stillman boxing match?
So I'm assuming this texter wants it to be like Rocky and Apollo, like in Rocky II, where they both hit each other at the same time and they both fall down.
Yeah.
But then neither of them gets up. Is that the idea here?
I guess so.
Yeah, no, I mean, in any sort of athletic endeavor, it would be a complete rout. And I'm way older than him. I'm trying to think of like what sport, I don't know. There's got to be something. Maybe like the little football that you play in your trapper keeper with your little triangular piece of paper.
Paper football.
He might be able to beat me in that.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Paper football?
Yeah.
I used to love that in elementary school.
There you go. See, I wasn't sure that if that reference would be lost on my fellow kids or not, but apparently not. So good. I'm sorry, Texter. The worst thing. No, that's awesome.
Dennis texts again. Best and worst was the same thing. University of Houston basketball players and coaches breaking chairs and throwing trash, and then Houston player Jamal Shedd stopping to pick it all up. Did you see that of like the Houston players and coaches losing their mind, and then they had a player that just said, you know what, I'm going to pick all these chairs and trash up that were thrown all over the court. Yeah, It was pretty crazy.
Totally missed that.
Joe, I'll send you the Twitter link.
Okay.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris texting in, give me a break on urban legend. So predictable. Throw dirt on his grave. When he was winning natties, your network was kissing his butt. Urban legend from Chris in Nashville.
All right.
Is that a nickname for him?
Hey. Now it's like urban, urban decay or yes. Whatever today, whatever. I actually have seen a little bit of like, this is media driven. All these things are coming up and, these stories and it's the media's out to get Urban Meyer. It's like, I'm like, who made him make the strength coach hire? Who made him, do the Tebow thing? Who made him, draft a running back? Who made him go out to the bar and grope a woman? I mean, like, no one else is out here doing this stuff. It's him. So Urban Meyer, I agree, was a great college football coach. He's, I think, the worst NFL coach ever. And that's not some media creation, man. That's him.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. We'll get into his recruiting period yesterday, a very successful day for Vanderbilt in the early signing period. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.